Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW and Sitka, where it's 41 degrees with intermittent light rain. Today's Wednesday, May 16th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Residents in a few select neighborhoods in Sitka will be trying out a new kind of bear-resistant trash can this spring. The local sanitation company is doing a field test of two prospective containers. Both are mostly plastic, and neither is considered bear-proof. All the authorities hope to do is frustrate brown bears looking for an easy meal in the hope that they move on. At Sitka's Fortress of the Bear, spring has definitely sprung. A seafood processor recently provided the habitat with 3,000 pounds of excess frozen salmon. This is good news for the five brown bears who live here, and the at least 30 bald eagles and 100 or more ravens who have just dropped by for lunch. Last year, a local group known as the Bear Task Force arranged to leave a bear-resistant trash can in the fortress with a tasty treat sealed inside. Fortress co-director Les Kinnear describes what you probably already suspect happened.
We left one in the habitat for a couple days because they drug it into the pool. It's like they wanted to have more time to work on it, and they've since ripped it all to pieces. It was plastic, and they can destroy, you know, even substantial plastic products.
Kinnear would be the first to admit that it was not a fair test. The bears here are routinely given challenges to get their food. It's placed in a hollowed-out tree trunk or inside a buoy ball with a small opening. Kinnear calls them puzzle feeders. Last year's trash can test was not all that unusual for the two full-grown male brown bears.
So when our bears approach a trash can, they see that as another challenge. Now, a wild bear doesn't exactly see that. A wild bear is there because he's hungry, not because he's interested or playful. And his primary interest is in gathering food as economically as possible.
The can happened to be one that Alaska Pacific Environmental Services is using in this spring's field test in Sitka, though the lid is now made out of custom-welded aluminum instead of plastic. APES, also known locally as Strager Sanitation, is deploying 24 cans in two varieties, one a manufactured bear-resistant can with a locking lid, and the other the more conventional can with the aluminum lid. Andrew Tomes, who sits on Sitka's Bear Task Force, stresses that neither is bear-proof.
I think the cans are going to be bear-resistant. They're not going to be a can that a bear can just walk up to, open up, and reach in and grab the trash. Or they're not going to be a can that a bear can walk by, knock over, and garbage spills all over the street.
The theory is that bears, working mainly in the limited hours of darkness, won't want to invest the effort.
If a bear wanted to get into the can, it could spend some time doing it. But if it spends 20 hours out there trying to get in the can, you know, by that time the police or ADF&G can see what's going on and chase the bear away.
Phil Mooney, the local wildlife biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, agrees.
Especially with young bears moving through, they can tip them over, but if they can't get into it, it's very typical for our bears to hit and run. They, you know, knock it over, grab something out of that, and then go to the next can.
Mooney is pretty certain that, like the bears in the fortress, we're not just training wild bears to a higher level.
No, we're going to be able to respond. One of the issues is by the time dispatch gets the call, by the time, you know, they can respond and we can respond, sometimes the bear is, you know, two blocks away and moving. They're quick to learn that an easy meal is nice, but they're not going to spend a whole lot of time there and draw attention to themselves.
Mooney, along with police, is the front line of Sitka's response to bears. In 2009, bear calls peaked at over 200. 19 bears were destroyed or removed from the area that summer. Calls tapered significantly in the last 2 years, but Mooney expects it to start to creep up again.
We're going to see more bear activity this summer than we did last year, and it's slowly increasing as those voids that were created in the landscape out there and habitat will be filled in by other bears.
The new cans have been placed at homes in the Indian River neighborhood, Sitka's primary bear corridor, the Cascade Street neighborhood, and at both ends of the road system. In September, Alaska Pacific Environmental Services will survey customers to see which cans they preferred and how they worked out. APES is footing the bill for the field test. Andrew Tomes with the Bear Task Force says if it's a success, his group's next job will be to figure out how to bring more cans to town and how to deploy them. There may be some efficiencies in buying cans with Juno, since APES is contemplating a similar trash system in that city. Les Kinnear, meanwhile, says his bears are happy to help out if more cans need to be tested in the future.
That's the nature of the beast, is to be inquisitive. They got to be bears by being very, very strong and clever and powerful and capable.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey. You can see a picture of the cans at our website, kcaw.org. Some unemployed workers in Alaska are about to lose their unemployment insurance benefits thanks to federal legislation that ties the payments to a state's unemployment rate. Bill Kramer is chief of unemployment insurance for the State Department of Labor. He says Alaska's insured unemployment rate is below 6%, meaning residents are no longer eligible to file new claims for Tier 4 of the federal program. He says the federal changes include other provisions designed to encourage people collecting emergency unemployment insurance to find work.
It's mandated that they make an active job search every week, and that unemployed workers document their job search, and we will audit certain numbers of those work searches that are made by people.
Congress implemented the Emergency Unemployment Compensation Program in 2008 as a way to extend benefits during the recession. It includes four tiers, varying from 6 to 20 weeks of additional payments. Kramer says the latest extension of the program also requires the department to provide job search advice and assess the skills of people entering the federal emergency unemployment system for the first time or applying for a new tier. He says about 1,900 Alaskans are currently receiving Tier 4 emergency unemployment compensation, while about 1,500 residents are claiming Tier 3. Existing claims will continue to be paid until they are exhausted. Kramer says people receiving emergency federal unemployment are considered long-term job seekers.
We're relatively fortunate in Alaska. Our overall unemployment rate has not been as high as the rest of the nation. And fortunately, I think for Alaska as well, this change comes as we're heading towards spring, and it's typically the highest employment season that we have in Alaska.
Regular federal unemployment insurance and the first three tiers of the emergency program will continue to be available to Alaska residents. The change also does not affect state unemployment insurance payments, which are funded by employers and employees in Alaska through payroll deductions. Alaska's unemployed workers can now claim a maximum of 73 weeks unemployment insurance, state and federal payments combined. Several Petersburg High School students got a hands-on opportunity to learn about a variety of medical professions this spring in a three-day job shadow at the local hospital. It was a new learning opportunity for science teacher Vic Troutman's anatomy class. Matt Lichtenstein put together this audio postcard.
See that point up there and this one up here?
Is that the scapula?
Correct.
Wow, that's mine.
Very good.
My name is Liz Bacom, and I'm the lab imaging manager, and we are really excited to have several students coming over from the high school for job shadowing. We have four in imaging and two over in the laboratory.
So we can, you know, so the radiologist can get a good look at it. Mm-hmm. You know, and of course, this is his heart.
Alberta Milani is our X-ray ultrasound and CT tech. She's been here for several years on and off. She fills in when we're short. And we were just finishing a study. A patient had a ribs x-rays, and for ribs there's a one-view chest and then evaluation of the ribs in two views. So she was showing the students how those images are evaluated.
My name is Emma Engel, and I'm in anatomy this year. And I decided to do this class because I'm really interested in going into the medical field after high school. And we got the opportunity to come up and do a job shadowing of a field that we were really interested in. So four of us chose radiology, and we've been able to see like a CAT scan, see how the machines work and stuff, and x-rays and mammograms and hopefully ultrasounds at some point.
Does it help you figure out maybe what kind of medicine or what sort of medicine you'd be interested in or what field of medicine?
Definitely. Just being able to see like how the machines work and what actually takes place really helps at least me figure out if I'm really interested in this, which I have realized that I'm actually really interested in this. So it's been really nice to be able to see.
My name is Haley Kelly, and I'm a senior, and I'm going to be going to University of Anchorage in the fall for nursing. And, you kind of just get, like, put in the hospital, and we got to see different sections of the hospital throughout the few days that we've been here. And I think that it's just really interesting, and it it's a great experience, and to be able to get to see this part before I actually go to school for it, see what to expect.
Excellent. Does it reinforce your decision to go into nursing?
Yeah, it does. I don't know. Just seeing everything just makes me want to go more. It makes me really excited to go to school.
There you go. Then take that out. Good. Goes in there.
My name is Miriam Swanson. I'm a medical technologist at Petersburg Medical Center, and Tyler and another student, J.L. Swanson, have job shadowed in the lab this week. Today we drew blood, and the trick is practice. So we just teach them the steps to safely and as painlessly as possible draw the blood.
So I'm Tyler Lantine. I'm a junior, and I'm doing this job shadow through anatomy and physiology in high school. So I chose the lab field because I'm interested in this type of medical work, just, and, well, stuff like this.
So you've gotten to give a shot to a fake arm here, basically, a simulated arm?
Well, actually, we're drawing the blood, so.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, and it actually has blood or something like blood.
It's a simulator.
Simulated blood,
yeah.
Does this, doing this make you more interested in going into a medical field?
Or? Yeah, it does. I mean, I've learned quite a bit about what goes on behind the doors of the medical lab, so, yeah.
And don't press, just pull it, and then pull that, and there you go. Perfect.
Some voices from the high school anatomy class's recent job shadow at the Petersburg Medical Center. So in weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander, calls for mostly cloudy skies, rain showers tapering off by afternoon, highs around 51, light winds becoming west 10 to 20 miles per hour this afternoon. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, highs around 52 with light winds. And tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 41. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.